Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hey there, bestie. I'm Lori Ami, your What to Read Next podcast host. Join me as we dive into exciting new reads that'll have you reaching for your TBR pile in no time. From gripping mysteries to spicy romances, we'll explore it all and help you find your next favorite book. So grab a cup of tea, cozy it up, and let's discover some amazing reads together. Hi, May. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hey, Laura. Thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My gosh, I am a Texas native and I live in Austin now, but I grew up in Deep East Texas in the woods. And that's like where I like to sit most of my thrillers, even though this latest one, The Hollywood Assistant, is set in Los Angeles.
Yeah. So I live in Texas for a summer and I live in Florida. So I know summers are not a great time to go visit just because of the weather. Texas is just like Austin is its own little, at least from my experience. I live in College Station, Texas, which is very anti-Austin, but I come from North. And so I was told that I probably will fit into Austin as much as possible, as opposed to any other part of Texas, maybe Houston, maybe Dallas, Fort Worth, but not College Station. That was very clear. Sure. Just, you know, but I think like Austin is like, it's growing. It's definitely like, I think it's, people are moving since COVID times or even before COVID times. You know, how does it live? How is it living in Texas now than it was, you know, a couple like in the past?
Yeah, I mean, I've been in Austin since 92 when I came down for college and on and off, I've lived other places too, but mainly here. And it has just completely, the growth has exploded.
Yeah.
Which is great. Like there's more dining options. It's not just like, you know, barbecue, but it's also, you know, it's affordability of housing and stuff is a real issue here now. So that's challenging. But I still love it. It's still extremely green city. It's still got tons of parks and nature and outdoor stuff, which is super important for me and my family. I have a 11-year-old, very high-spirited little boy that has to be outside a lot. So
yeah, I love this. Yeah, I consider moving to Texas at some point. I moved to Austin, but it was too far away. I needed to take multiple trips to go. My family lives in Puerto Rico, so I wanted to find a place I had direct flight. So I ended up in Tampa, which actually has a pretty quick jump around, but it's the same thing. It's affordability. Like it's exploded. There's a lot of people moving in here. There's a lot of things are more expensive, you know, than it, like the advertised back in the day. You're like, you can afford this in like $900. You're like, yeah, no, like you can barely afford that.
Yeah, I know. No, it's really crazy. But Tampa must be so nice.
It is nice. It's actually like I've been here for about 3 years and I surprisingly now I find my way in it. I like it. And I found my community. I think I needed. I live in the suburbs. I don't live in the major city hub. And it was a conscious choice because I was coming from New York City and Chicago, which were very urban, very city-like. And I needed something a little bit. I wanted to slow down in this era of my life. And so choosing to live in Northeast Tampa was like I found myself in a really nice community. I don't have a car. I'm getting a car this summer. And so that's like a whole different level of like, I've been a passenger princess using Ubers and Lyft just to get around. But it's definitely like a nice little comforting. I live away from the water. So I'm not by the part where the hurricanes will happen or evacuation zones, which is kind of like nice, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Totally. But then you're like, you're probably like what, like an hour from the beach or two?
Yeah,
or
I'm like 45 minutes from the beach. I think I'm 45 minutes from Clearwater and then downtown. Like I'm about 30 minutes from Tampa Bay. And then St. Pete's is probably like 45 minutes. I think St. Pete's is a preferably popular place where people move because it's kind of like a small town base, and it's much more walkable and much more fun and stuff like that. I have yet to visit St. Pete, but that's on the horizon for the summer to give it a try. But yeah, I do. I travel regularly to Puerto Rico because my job allows me to work every so often. So I do. So that's where I'm used to really nice beaches. And so sometimes, like, Florida actually doesn't have ugly beaches, but I'm used to the up north. New York beaches are horrible beaches. So I'm like, you know, it is okay.
That's okay. I love it. That's nice. Yeah.
So, all right. So let's talk about The Hollywood Assistant, which is a book set in LA and is set in the glamorous world of personal assistant, which is a job that 1,000 people want just to get in the foot in the door. But you know, you hate that job. Like, it is a thankless job. And you put your assistant through the wringer in this book. So talk to us about what is the elevator pitch and why should readers pick it up?
So the elevator pitch is that the main character, my protagonist, Cassidy Foster, is recently heartbroken. She's like a struggling writer, wants to be a novelist, but can't get published. And so when her best friend, who's a little more glamorous, says, I have a job for you, move to LA from Austin, she springs at the chance. So she moves and she starts working for this couple, and they're very like handsome, sexy, you know, money. The husband's a director and the wife is an actress. And so she starts working as a personal assistant, and the pay is great and the perks are great. But then very soon she can tell that there's a lot more going on than meets the eye, and she gets sucked into their world, and there's obsession and infidelity and all the things that I like to write about.
Yeah, I feel like your books are like these juicy, popcorn, fun, frothy thrillers. They're a good escape. Like, they're just like the perfect beach read to read. Because they're not gory in a sense of like, we're going to go deep into the woods, but we're going to go with the frothy, the Real Housewives, you know, of like of drama. It's like the Bravo kind, which I love. Like, that's the kind that I want to read, you know. Rich people behaving badly, and like, let's just put them through the ringer. It sounds great.
Thank you. I really enjoy writing about it. It's like personally my own escape, you know. Yeah.
So let's talk about The Hunting Wives, because it's coming for a Starz show. So that's another book of yours. So talk to us about why we should pick it up now. Like, you know, read the book.
Yeah, I would love for readers to read it before the show comes out, because the show stuck really close to the spirit of it, but it's even more bonkers than the book. And the book has been described as like kind of like Big Little Lies, but with martinis and guns. And that's from Dare Billings, the fabulous bookstagrammer. And I just love it. So I love that tagline, because it's about a group of East Texas socialites, women who they shoot skeet in the woods and they drink wine and they gather, but they're also on the hunt for something more. And it's got a murder mystery and just lots of like sex, drama, juiciness to it. And man, I had so much fun writing that one.
Oh my God. It was so much fun reading it. Like, as a reader, it was just so much fun. It was like, this is the kind of book that I need. You know, like, who would have thought the housewives just shooting guns, just be like, and going on these like excursions, like, oh, this is great.
Thank you so much.
I'm like, it's like, I didn't realize this is something can happen. Like, you can do that. Like, I'm so used to, like, you know, they go into their Pilates or they're doing all this leisurely. But like, hey, we got to blow up some steam too. Let's just shoot on some shit.
Yeah, I really wanted to invert the whole boys club thing and let the women, you know, behave badly. And I think I got a little carried away.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. So let's talk about your writing process. Like, how do you get your ideas? Like, how do you figure out like what would be like something interesting? Like, what nugget of inspiration could lead you to that, going down the rabbit hole?
Yeah. So for Hunting Wives or Hollywood Assistant,
It's up to you.
So for Hollywood Assistant, I actually, about 20 years ago, I lived in Los Angeles and I worked as a personal assistant to a director and an actress, a couple. And, after that initial sort of setup, there's nothing similar to them in the book because they were so lovely. It was like a sort of like a Cinderella story where I fell into this job and they treated me so well, like family, and we're still friends. And I love them dearly. And it was just so cool because much like Cassidy in the book, I did get transported to this world I kind of didn't know existed. Like I had been living in Bay Area in this like tiny apartment, struggling grad student, you know, eating like frozen pot pies for dinner. And then all of a sudden, like I wake up and I'm, you know, wow, I'm at the coast and I'm going to 5-star restaurants and wined and dined. And it was like a fairy tale. And I wanted to capture that aspect of that kind of like stepping into a new world. And I was very green, you know, like I'm not like the jaded person I am now today. Yeah. 50, I was, you know, early 20s, mid 20s. I'm bad at math. And it was just like very enchanting to me to be a part of that and to, you know, get hand-me-down clothes from someone whose closet is a lot more swoon-worthy than mine. And it was just it was cool. So that was kind of the inspiration. But of course, in my novels, like, okay, I set out to write. I wanted to do something a little different with this one where it's more like Hitchcockian / erotic thriller. I love erotic thrillers from the 80s and 90s, like Fatal Attraction. So I kind of wanted to do like a love letter to those, but have it be more from the female gaze.
Yeah.
That was sort of like the story, the inspiration behind The Hollywood Assistant.
I love this. I love the fact you're like, you took a positive experience. You're like, let's just thrillify. Make it a little bit more like, let's just make it a little bit more darker than this.
Murder and sex.
Murder.
Yeah.
The crime, exactly. Fatal Attraction, like just.
I love that thrillify. I'm gonna have to steal that herb.
Yeah, let's just take it, you know. So, and you mentioned that you read, like, you do read some crime reads. Like, what kind of, like, what's your crime read of choice? I personally love, and here's my take on. I personally love white collar crime. I am all about financial crime, scams, and all the things. I'm also work as an investigator. Investigating white collar crime. So I do have the ideal job for that, and that's probably why I love it. But I know there's murder, there's like, you know, rich people behaving badly and all the different things. So what's your crime of choice that you're indulge yourself?
It's kind of funny, like I really read more crime fiction than like true crime. I don't really listen to true crime podcasts and stuff like that. And I don't know if it's, I see the appeal. And when I was in high school, like I loved books like Zodiac and the Lizzie Borden book. And I liked that stuff. And I liked watching Dateline and things like that. But now I don't know if it's because I have a kid or just like the world is just crazy enough that, so I'd have to read the fictional version.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I don't really do too much, you know. I mean, yes, I think it's always interesting when, you know, a headline pops up and you're like, all right, it's definitely the husband that did it. You know, like, that's always like, are we really going to walk around the park and then figure this out? Like, we already know, you know, that's what happened. Yeah.
I love this. All right. So let's try some book recommendations. What kind of books do you recommend our listeners to pick up?
Okay. I don't just read thrillers, but one of my favorite ones is The Likeness by Tawna French. Mm-hmm. It's probably my favorite one of hers. I love that it's sort of got like a group of like college age friends and they're at this like manor in Ireland in the countryside. And it's got like a doppelganger thing where, and I'm not giving any of this away, but just real quick, she basically, there's like one of them, you know, goes missing or dies. And then there's a present day, like police investigator And she looks just like the victim enough to where she can actually, so I guess she's missing. She comes back to this group of friends and she has to pretend like she's her to try to figure out what happened. And it's so tense and awesome. I love it. And then let's see, is this where I give like the 5 books?
You can give a couple. You don't need to give them all. So it's up to you. What do you want to get?
Okay. And I love, my favorite book of all time is The Hummingbird's Daughter by Luis Alberto Urrea. That's, I just find every time I pick that book up and reread it, it's like entering a dream. Yeah. And then I have to give a shout out to Amanda Earward's debut called Sleep Toward Heaven. It's not crime fiction per se, but it does, I would say it borderlines on it. And she, I don't know too many authors that write different POVs as well as she does. And the ending, every time I want to try to nail an ending in my own books, I'll pick that book up and reread it. And it always makes me gasp.
Love this. I love when that happens. It's like, it's a maze of the readers, like having that experience, like what it feels like, outer body experience, like,
holy crap. Yeah, totally.
So, May, tell us where you can find online.
Okay, my website is www.maycobb.com, but I'm mainly on Instagram, and it's May_Cobb, COBB.
Thank you, May, for being on the show.
Thank you so much. I had a blast.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Watch Read Next podcast. If you enjoy our bookish conversations and want more recommendations, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, head on over to the Watch Read Next blog for a list of books mentioned in today's show. Happy reading. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? Watch Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit watchreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you once for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.